Father, thank you so much for this time that we can gather together. We can set aside all the distractions and come before you and learn from you. And Lord, as we look into your word and as we discover some things that maybe are a little uncomfortable to hear, but Lord, you have a message for us. And I pray that you would give me the words to speak and that I might honor and glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a very interesting sermon the Lord prompted me to do here this morning. In this world, we have a lot of things tugging at us. And our young people, unfortunately, are more susceptible to the things that are being promoted in this world. There's a lot of deceptions out there that if we allow them to, will suck us right into them. And we have to be careful, and Scripture reminds us that there are going to be false teachers, teachers who are infiltrating the church. And we've heard of some of these strange teachings. I've got a slide up there for the coexist movement. You've seen the bumper stickers, I'm sure. And they all say that, well, it doesn't matter what you believe because we're all in it together and we're all going to make it. And there's a tolerance movement. There's humanism that speaks about more of the whatever you do, it's okay. And then on the other spectrum of that is legalism. And that's, you know, this idea that there's all kinds of do's and don'ts. We have to run this rigid line. And then there's one other one I have a slide of. It's called theistic evolution. And it amounts to is that instead of God creating the heavens and the earth, he just initiated the evolution. And that evolution is the process God used to create the world, which is a false doctrine again. But it sounds good on the outside, and some of our young people have grasped it and taken it, and teachers even have been into that as well to try and explain things. And yet, it's not the truth. Again, 2 Peter, if you turn there, 1853, in your pew Bibles, 1853, 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to look at 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3, 1853 in the Pew Bibles. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." You know, I can't help but think of Facebook and a lot of the stories that you get on Facebook. And we all kind of go, oh, it must be true. You know, there was a commercial sometime back and this girl was dating this guy and met him online and he said he was French or whatever and he's some guy from the Bronx somewhere and he's standing there, and the guy says, oh, you believe everything on the internet? You know, and she says, yeah. And then the guy, he kind of goes, oui, in that Bronx accent. You know, false teachers aren't jumping up and saying, I'm a false teacher here. You know, don't believe me. They're infiltrating the churches in a secret way. And we see that, secretly introducing destructive heresies. You know, they don't just all of a sudden blast people away with a false doctrine. They kind of work it in. It's a very diabolical heresy being promoted in our media. It's been introduced very slowly into our society. Supernatural things that we're already somewhat susceptible because we believe in the Bible and we believe that God can do whatever He wants and He can do certain miracles and things. But we older adults, we look at some of the things going on today and we think, you know, that's crazy. But I want to tell you that our younger people are being indoctrinated and led astray methodically in a plan that was hatched thousands of years ago. In fact, it's been just starting to show its face more and more. Now, some of you remember Orson Welles. I have a slide of that. Orson Welles and the War of the World. Remember that? Some of you older adults remember it. Some of you younger ones may not have heard of it, or you remember the newer movie with Tom Cruise, I believe he was in it. The newer movie, War of the Worlds. Well, the original was Orson Welles. And he got on the radio back in, I believe it was the 40s, he got on the radio and he started talking about these alien creatures that come and invaded the world from Mars. And he did this radio program in such a way that people actually believed it. And there were tremendous response to this, phone calls going crazy, and in some cases, I believe people committed suicide because they thought it was the end of the world. They believed it. Now, you know, they all had a big laugh, you know, eventually, and of course they did a lot of apologies and all this other stuff, and yet it was the beginning of this whole rendition. And we see Star Trek. We got a little slide of Star Trek. We got Star Trek and Star Wars, and now it's ancient aliens and supernatural. And I've got, you know, look at those guys. Man, they're handsome guys, you know. And girls and even maybe some guys, I don't know, looking at them going, man, I'm going to watch that program. You know, we get right into it. And then there's Bigfoot. You know, I get a kick out of this one because there's these guys that actually believe it. You know, and they're just all in it. And the one guy, he's running around in the woods going, roar, you know, and stuff like that, because he believes that he's going to get a response. And I want to tell you that even Fox News, they had a report about a UFO, and these Navy pilots had come upon it, locked in on it, and followed it for some time, and nobody knew what it was. Well, then we've had shows, X-Files, Falling Skies, iZombie. In fact, they have a show now called Lucifer. Can you imagine that? A show called Lucifer. They make him into a kind of a comedic individual, and they go through different things. He got bored with the underworld, and he came, and he's got a bar now. You know, it's a cutesy thing to get people to say, Lucifer, he's a good guy. He's not a good guy. And then they've got Ghost Whisperer. When I searched how many shows there were on supernatural and UFOs and those kinds of things, the list went on and on and on. Some shows aren't on any longer. But that means that that's been passed. They got done with that part, and they're indoctrinating us more and more. All these things, they use the computer graphics, computer generated, CG. They make a dramatically produced, high definition, drawing our young people into a destruction like cattle to a slaughter. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched a slaughterhouse, but they've got cows upon cows, you know, steer upon steer. Any livestock won't be live on the other end. And all these livestock, they're lined up.
And they're just herding them into this chute. And one by one, they come to the individual who puts an end to their life. And then they run them through the mill to process them. Cattle don't know what's going on. They're not turning around saying, hey, you know what's going on? No, I don't know what's going on. That the cows just mindlessly follow. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4, I got a slide up on that. It says, I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversy rather than God's work, which is by faith. You see, we can devote ourselves to these endless genealogies, these myths, these things that are manufactured by Hollywood, and we can get ourselves all tied up in these things. These guys that do the Bigfoot and the UFO searches and all these other, they devoted their whole lives to this. 30-some years in some cases. And they're out there doing what? Trying to find the elusive Bigfoot. The elusive UFO. Trying to make contact with an alien. And all the while, their soul is destined for hell. And they don't even know it. Maybe they don't care. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to go to that one. It's 18:13 in your pew Bibles, 18:13. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 18:13 in the pew Bibles, starting verse 3. It says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. There's coming to come a time when people discard sound doctrine. No longer are people seeking God. In fact, we read an article that people believe in aliens more than they believe in God at this point. They're seeking something different. They want something strange. And Satan has all kinds of tricks up his sleeves. He knows exactly how to bring people in. And look at the scripture that is up there about Satan. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians as well, because there's a few more scriptures or a few more verses besides just the one I have up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11. Because, you see, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. So why can't he masquerade as any other thing, such as Bigfoot or a UFO or an alien? Whatever he wants. He can show himself as. Go to verse 13 in 2 Corinthians 11. It says, this talks again about false teachers. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. So these individuals, they're false apostles even. They're false teachers. They come in with this godliness in front, kind of a fake front, a facade. And they come in there and they share how wonderful, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They say all the great words. They even can pray these prayers that are just amazing prayers, and all the while masquerading so that they can draw you into a deception. Revelation, I want you to go there, last book of the Bible, chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13. Starting at verse 11, 1881 if you want the page number. Revelation 13, verse 11, it says, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all authority, all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name." This is an interesting scripture here. Because here we see not only that this false beast, this false apostle, this individual who's promoting the Antichrist, is what they're talking about, that he's going to perform signs and wonders and miracles, even fire from heaven, just enough to deceive the people. And all these people are going to go, "Wow, look at this guy. He's got to be something." My own opinion, I believe that he even will heal some diseases, maybe even have the cure for cancer. Just imagine. Some guy comes along and says, "I have the cure for cancer." You don't think people are going to follow that guy? And it says here, it's enough to deceive the people. Enough to where they'll take a mark on their right hand or their forehead. Do you know the technology is in place already? And they're using it in some places. Some rich people in Sweden or whatever, they get this implant, and then they can go around this club, one of their elite clubs, and they don't have to use their wallet or buy anything. They just hold their hand out and it scans. The doors to their rooms open up for them. They don't have to have one of those cards that sometimes don't work. You ever have that happen at a hotel? You keep swiping it or sticking it in there and it's not working? Got to end up going back down. Well, that'll all be taken care of. No worries. Except that you're going to be pledging your allegiance to an antichrist and condemning yourself to hell at that point. I want to tell you, you don't want to take that mark. Matthew 24, I got this, got up on the screen for you. You don't have to turn there. It says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." See, I've told you ahead of time. Jesus said this right here. He said there's going to be individuals that are going to be out there and they're going to be doing these miracles and performing these signs and other things that even the elect, even the people who believe in Jesus as their Savior, could be deceived. And I want to tell you that some of us have bit on the theistic evolution. We've taken it in. We've said, "Oh, that sounds logical." Satan is not playing games. You know, we kind of look at, we watch these movies and we say, "Well, you know, it's just fake." LJ, one time, our grandson, we were watching a movie and he turned to me and he says, "Is that real?" "No, it's not real. It's just produced. It's computer graphics. It's nothing." Satan's not playing a movie. This is not a movie we're in. It's not CG. It's not make-believe. Someday it's going to be complete reality. Things are becoming more and more that way. Technology. I mean, the violence in the world. People's love has gone cold. We all see that happening. I want you to look one last scripture. John, Gospel John, 1633 in the Pew Bible, 1633. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the abundance or to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the sheep or the flock and scatters it. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You see, Jesus comes to give us life. Satan comes to steal it. He comes to destroy. That's all he knows what to do. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan is here in this world to do. It's not a game. It's not make-believe. And there certainly isn't a do-over. When this life is over, it's over. When eternity begins, it begins. Where will you be when eternity begins for you? We're here to remember that gift. And we're going to do a song before we go into communion. We thought it was an appropriate song to lead us into a communion. So let's stand up and we're going to sing You Are My King before we go to communion.